It's good to see everyone here this morning. To our visitors, we're especially glad that you're here with us to worship God with us this morning. To our elders, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity for your confidence in me to stand before you this morning and to proclaim God's Word. Paul writes to the young evangelist Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." So this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to study God's Word together and make some applications for that we can take home with us. In 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22 says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end which is worse than from the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, 'A dog returns to his own vomit, and so, having washed, to her wallowing in the mirror.'" This is a very interesting passage that we just read. And it's ironic that this came from the inspired pen of the Apostle Peter. If anyone knew firsthand the reality and the dangers of backward sliding, it would be Peter. As he found out, he discovered firsthand the night that he denied Jesus. The process of backsliding is a gradual one. Oftentimes, it takes the person by surprise, and lest we fall into our own steadfastness. So this morning, we're going to carefully examine the process that led Peter to deny Christ, and then following, we're going to see how through Peter's own words and his epistles that he wrote are designed to prevent us from doing the same things he did. So turn with me to Mark chapter 14, is where we will begin. Mark chapter 14. Mark 14, we'll start reading in verse 27. "And Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away, because it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee.' But Peter said to him, 'Even though all may fall, yet I will not.' And Jesus said to him, 'Truly I say to you, this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' But Peter kept saying insistently, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you.' They all were also saying the same things also." So in a boastful manner, Peter claims that he would not fall away or deny Christ. In doing so, Peter has taken the first step in sliding back, which is pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit goes before a fall." Why is this the first step, you might ask? It's because the first step in entering into the kingdom is humility. Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4 teach that. So if we lose our humility, we take the first step back. Let's continue reading in verse 32 in Matthew 14. Then he came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here until I have prayed." And he took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it was possible that the hour might pass him by saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will." And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watch and praying that you will not come into temptation. But the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And he came again. He came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came again the third time and said, "Are you still sleeping? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." So Jesus told Peter, along with James and John, to do one thing, to keep watch. Therefore, it was a lack of diligent preparation that would cause them to be off guard what was to come to follow. When we are caught off guard, we make rush actions. We do not always think things through. And it's Peter did the same thing, because in verse 47, he cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. But without diligence, we too can be found unprepared. And Luke 21:36 says, "Watch therefore and pray always." More often than not, it's a gradual drifting that catches us off guard. Hebrews 2, verse 1 says, "For this reason, we must pay close attention to what we have heard, do that we not drift away from it." But when we are proud of ourselves, we become lazy. And that leads us to our next step. We'll continue reading in verse 54. "And Peter followed him at a distance." So, at this particular time, Jesus has become unpopular to the point that in a few hours, he's going to be put to death. So Peter stayed far enough away from Christ that he would not be associated with him. Peter was unprepared for the ridicule and the persecution that was to come. Without diligent preparation, we too can become guilty of have cowardness with us. We might be ashamed to be seen carrying our Bibles. We could be ashamed of giving thanks, praying to God. We could be ashamed to be seen with other Christians. And worst of all, perhaps even we are ashamed to let our family, our friends, our loved ones, to even know that we are even Christians. Jesus has made it clear through the Word of God what He thinks about cowardness. In Revelation 21:8, Jesus says, "But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable, the murderers, the immoral persons, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all the liars, and the part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." When we are ashamed of Christ it's natural for us to fall into the next step. We'll continue reading in verse 54. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting there with the officers, was keeping himself, warming himself at the fire. So now we see, when we are ashamed to be seen with Christ, it becomes easy to mingle with those of the world and enjoy their comforts. But one cannot be comforted by the fire of this world and not be burned. Turn with me over to Proverbs. Proverbs 6 and verse 27 says, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched?" So we cannot flirt with the world and walk away untouched. Paul warns the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians that bad company corrupts good morals. By the time we become friends with the world, it's only a short time before we take the next and the final step. Let's go back to Mark 14. And we'll pick up at verse 66. As Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. Seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You were with Jesus the Nazarene." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are talking about." Then he went on the porch, and the servant girl saw him and began once more to say by the bystanders, "This is one of them." But again he denied it. After a little while, the bystanders again sang to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean too." But he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man you are talking about." Immediately, a rooster crowed a second time. Away from Christ and the comfort, being comforted by the world, Peter finds himself denying his Lord and his Savior. In doing so, he put himself in grave danger. In Matthew 10:33 says, "But whoever denies me before men," Jesus speaking, "I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." Let's pause and think about that for a minute. If I deny Christ on this earth, on the day of judgment, God will deny me entrance into heaven. Though we might not actually physically, with words, deny Christ, as we just read Peter did, but our actions can show that. What I mean by that is we are called to worship, but yet do we sometimes make up reasons why we can't come? When we are called to serve, do we serve just a little or not enough or not at all? Are we are called to stand by His side and suffer for His name, but do we stand afar off in the safety of the world's comfort? When we deny the Lord, our backsliding is complete unless we repent. The only thing left is one day, face to face, we'll fully realize on the day of judgment the error of our ways. Peter fully realized his sin when he saw the Lord. The Lord turned and looked at him there in the courtyard. Let's turn over to Luke 22, Luke's account of this particular story. Luke 22 and verse 60 says, "But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you're talking about.' Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the words of the Lord and how he told him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." Just imagine for a second that you're Peter. Just a few hours ago, in the comfort of the other apostles and Jesus, you said, "Even if I have to die, I will not deny you." But yet, go a little bit more throughout the story, we see that he's not in the comfort of his other apostles. This is him by himself, entangled with the high priest and with the world. So Peter had to make a choice. What was he going to do about it? He had to decide what he was going to do. Was he going to try to do it his way? Or is he going to handle it God's way? Unlike Judas, Peter had godly sorrow that results in true repentance. And years later, we find Peter writing the sort of things that would prevent us from making the same mistakes he did. Don't we want to do that, the same thing with our family and our friends? If we make a really bad mistake, don't we want them, when they're growing up, to do not do what I did? And this is how Peter, in his writings in 1 Peter, this is the kind of things, the steps that he took to backslide, we're going to show us how we can grow and not make the same mistakes he did. So turn with me to 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5 and verse 5 says, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but it gives grace to the humble." So he tells us to guard ourselves against pride by having humility. And he wards us to, he wards against being lazy. But let's turn just a few verses down in let's turn over to 2 Peter 1 verse 5. "Now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith supplies moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge." So we see that we have to have diligence. We have to be prepared. And instead of being, have cowardice with us, he charges us to glorify God. In 1 Peter 4:16 says, "But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but to glorify God in his name. And then, instead of worldliness, he tells us to abstain from it. In 1 Peter 2, he says in verse 11, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from the fleshly lust which rages war against your soul." He wants to remind us that this is not our world. This is not our home. We have someplace better than this world could even dream of. So it's not worth having it easy on this lot, in this earth, in this life, to miss heaven. And instead of denying him, Peter tells us to be ready to give a defense. In 1 Peter 3:15, very common verse we read a lot, "But sanctify Christ as the Lord in your hearts, always ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you." So we see the process that took Peter to deny Christ. But now we've just seen traits that if we diligently apply them to our lives, we can not make the same mistake Peter did in denying Christ. And with careful preparation, we will defend Christ rather than deny Him. For the one who had learned from this hard road of experience, he gives us a lot of advice. Yes, one day we might not have to backslide. Turn with me to 2 Peter 3. All right. Hold on. Technical difficulties. Second Peter 3, verse 17 says, "Therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on guard so that you are not carried away by the errors of unprincipled men and far from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." There's one thing we have to remember, that when Peter fell, he saw Christ. They made eye contact with him. But fortunately for him, there was time to repent. But unfortunately for us, we don't have that same luxury in that sense. Because by the time we see Jesus face to face, it's already too late. If we realize that we are guilty of backsliding, there's one thing to do, and that is to repent now. Because we don't want to stand before Jesus face to face. When we stand before Jesus face to face, we want the encounter to be terrific, not terrifying. If you're not a Christian, I'd like to ask, why not? In closing, in Acts 8, verse 35 says, Then Philip opened his mouth and began preaching from the Scripture. He preached Jesus to him. And they went along, and the road came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized them. So we see what, if there's correction to be made in our lives, we see the ways we have to go. If we are a Christian, we have to repent, as the same way Peter did. And if we're not a Christian, I ask, why not? So, if there's anything that we could do this morning to help you to have a right relationship with Jesus, would you come forward now as we stand together and as we sing?
What can we do?